The following program is a sports handicapping show. That's right, we will be discussing sports betting and all kinds of other gambling stuff, including game predictions. As you know, not every bet will win, but we do our best. Feel free to use this information at your own risk, and remember, wager wisely, folks.
Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day! And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Thursday in Sin City, and you are watching Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined, as always, by my esteemed colleague, the Professor, Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, now that we've got a lot of back-to-backs in these conference tournaments, we'll look back and see if there was something in the night from Wednesday we need to carry forward. Remember, Bruce live at the Apollo tomorrow night. You'll see it on XM. Could one team this afternoon be trapped by the particular defensive matchup they're going to be up against? And we close out today's show, we're going to talk about one particular team that's not reliving their glory days this year, even though the odds makers aren't pricing it that way.
Bruce, a Bruce reference in every show. We love that, Dave.
But one more show tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm counting on it. But today's show, a little bit special, Dave. It's our 100th episode. We're one-fifth of the way to The Simpsons already. 100 shows, Dave. You got a first take on that, or maybe
one-fifth of the way to a cartoon, in other words. Which is probably about right. Okay, we'll be talking a lot of college basketball today or tomorrow, but the NBA will still be playing. As we've said many times on this show, review and preview in this shortened season. Yesterday on the show, we talked about the Celtics and just how bad they had been when the second of back-to-back games were on the road. Well, if you didn't see it last night, if you were watching college basketball, not only were they awful, they just quit early. Trailed by as many as 37 points at Philadelphia, now 0-6. In that second night of back-to-backs on the road. Not just 0-6 against the spread, though, but how about losing to the spread by 82 points? 13.5 points per game. Absolutely dreadful. Watch this as it happens, because, again, these guys aren't experienced right now. They're old. Okay, I was watching a little Boston, because I had to. I wanted to see how bad they were going to look. College hoops on your TV?
Yeah, we have to talk about college hoops. We had a mix of college hoops and NBA last night on the televisions in the home office. But for a first take on a conference tournament Thursday, we have to revisit the perennial question. This is a question that I'm going to face, that Dave faces, and that you all are going to face out there over the course of the next 3 or 4 weekends. And that question is, ride the teams that we won with or get your profit and jump off the train. And you know, it's a real question. And a question that comes with a lot of nuances surrounding it. You know, my first take when it comes to, do I want to ride a team that I won with last night or is it a one-off, is the basic handicap of that particular matchup. The basic question, did I support the team the first night because I thought they were an undervalued commodity, because I thought they were built well for tournament success? Those are teams that you want to ride. If you supported the team the previous night because you thought the matchups worked in their favor, or you thought they were facing either a dead team as an opponent or a vulnerable team as an opponent, those things don't tend to carry over. Be very aware of roles here. A team that's laying 5 points one day and then getting 7 the next, very different role. So I like to ride teams that I feel are undervalued. I want to ride teams that I feel are built to win tournaments. But I'm definitely going to go one and done with the type of teams that, yeah, I like the matchups, or I wanted to bet against their opponent, but not so much in love with the team that I supported. All right, we've had our first major day of conference tournament actions, and now's the time to evaluate the results to begin our post-mortem segment for today. So a ton of games to break down. Let's get some flow ideas into play right off the top, Dave.
Yeah, first thing, of course, you naturally need to do is study the minutes, especially if they are hard minutes. Because one of the things you've seen happen, you know, in the Big East a little bit, where the team that plays the first day is actually a step ahead of the team that didn't play. If the minutes are light, it's a bonus to have played an extra game. You get familiar with the court, much more familiar with the surroundings. I think this could be a big key in the Pac-10 today. Oregon State got extended a little bit against Washington State yesterday, but the other Pac-10 teams all won in a breeze. So when you look at today's games, UCLA actually has an advantage over Arizona. Maybe Colorado, a bit of an advantage over Oregon because of that prep time. And Stanford, certainly an advantage off of a very easy win last night. It's like having a light practice on a new court that's actually better than not being on that court at all. But instead, you look at some of the teams that really got dragged out in their minutes. And when we get to the last Money Time, we'll talk about Texas El Paso, who played not only a lot of minutes, but hard minutes. When you win an overtime game, those are tougher minutes for you to play. Maybe we're seeing that on the side right now, Connecticut wearing down a little bit in the late stages against Syracuse off of yesterday's overtime. But certainly you look at the minutes first before anything else, projecting who could be tired or who actually had a breather that might have been a nice little workout.
Now, today's show loaded. I'm not going to be giving scoring updates throughout, but I am going to give scoring updates at halftime in case there are some of you out there that want to make a halftime wager on these games. We'll even see if we can get that opinion from Dave before this show is through. East Carolina.
Get the janitor in the room?
No, but, you know, the Internet's in the room. Huh?
We're not allowed to bet that way.
Yeah, it's a second choice, clear second choice. Right now, East Carolina, Southern Miss at the half. Southern Miss with a two-point lead, 32-30. Halftime line, Southern Miss minus -4. Total, around 71. The other game at half right now, Arkansas-LSU. That game tied at 28 apiece. Second half line, LSU minus -2. Total in the range of 71. Do you have any opinion on either of those two, Dave?
You know, it's hard without having actually seen.
Sure.
Without a box score, without having watched the game flow. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but when you look at that LSU halftime score and you see how big that second half total is, they're counting on some scramble points. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it leads to something else that you should be doing. First night of these tournaments and as they unfold, when it's a new venue for these teams, check those shooting statistics. Sometimes these backdrops are much different than these kids are prepared for. You can learn a lot in the early games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the old rule of thumb, NBA venues have tighter rims than college. You see this in Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament. Whenever they've played in the United Center in Chicago, the Bulls would have extra tight rims. But that's something to follow. Look for the courts themselves to see if you might find an edge.
Yeah, just a couple of quick takes on what we saw last night. Finally, early start action today, we saw a Big East underdog cover a tournament with a history of strong underdog success. Not so much this year. The first day, 2 days through the Big East, favorites 8-0 straight up, 8-0 against the spread. UConn got the money this morning. They're not going to go on and continue their incredible multi-season run in the Big East tournament, but they got the money in the 58-55 loss to Syracuse. That game has gone final. Pac-12 ugliness, maybe that's, you know, you talked about some of the, you know, the Stanford having a real easy time yesterday. Yeah, Arizona State didn't show up. Neither did Utah. Neither did USC. There was some ugly basketball in the Pac-12 tournament, perhaps a precursor of things to come for the nation's weakest major conference entrant.
Of course, the nice thing, though, about the Pac-12, because these teams at the top are so vulnerable, if you're Colorado, if you're Stanford, you're this close to the NCAA tournament. You know, if you were somewhere else, you've got no shot. The players know this, though. You'll see that confidence level sometimes because, look, they played everybody twice. They know that they can win. Let's say Oregon State, Stanford, Colorado, three lower-tier also-rans, all with a very live chance to win the Pac-12 tourney.
I agree wholeheartedly, Dave. And for you to agree, you got to send us an email. Email address, of course, sportsday@covers.com. Comments, questions, suggestions, all appreciated. And we do answer the best emails on air on a daily basis. Again, sportsday@covers.com. Follow us on Twitter, @VegasSportsDay. And, of course, get involved in the community with active threads and discussions going right now at covers.com/posting.
Up next, Stan Van Gundy said that his team isn't trying to be great. Mission accomplished, Stan. We're heading to the NBA board in the TNT doubleheader as Money Time begins.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, Covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front row seat in the heart of the action, from the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
Oh, hello there. My name is Brandon Gooch Hahn, host of Awkward Silence 2.1. And when I'm not living vicariously through Chris Phillips, I'm on VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Okay, guys, it's money time!
Yes, Dave. 100 times.
You've lived through that 100 times.
Well, fortunately, 98, because you did.
That's true. I missed two shows around Thanksgiving.
Gosh, so. They were fun.
Best shows we've done all year.
They were. No, they were sensational.
This edition of Money Time is brought to you by Covers.com. Remember, for all the key information you need in every sport, Covers covers the numbers. Let's start tonight in Chicago, where the Bulls, they've taken a little bit of money over the course of the last half hour or so. That's sixes are being bought out. Now we're seeing 6.5s as the prevailing number for Chicago at home this evening against Orlando. Bulls have dominated this series like they've dominated most series when we talk about college NBA, I should say, of late. 4-0 straight up, 3-1 against the spread in head-to-head meetings since January 1st, 2011. And the key stat in those games, they've won the rebounding battle, plus 47 in those four meetings. The only previous meeting this season, 97-83. Chicago wins and covers at Orlando in relatively easy fashion. Now, you know, the Magic had an off day yesterday after what may be rock bottom for the Magic. You know, I say maybe because it's always difficult to gauge whether a team has actually hit rock bottom until they start to get better. And we haven't seen that from Orlando. They were up 20 at Charlotte two nights ago. Ended up losing the game by 16 to the Bobcats. That's the biggest margin of victory all year for Charlotte. They'd been 0-18 straight up versus winning teams coming in. Orlando, yeah, maybe there's no way to go but up.
Yeah, when you have that happen against Charlotte, that's got to be rock bottom. So you'd like to think, okay, here's a team with pride. Some of these guys have been to NBA Finals before. They're in the playoffs every year. They will bounce back. But does this particular group have it? We've told you several times about coaches we like or don't like in terms of trusting their quotes and their comments. Stan Van Gundy, you can trust him. So what does he have to say right now about the status of his team after that disaster against Charlotte? Not very good. We're not trying to be great. This is who we are. This is what we deserve. We've been getting away with it. Now, when he says they're not trying to be great, that's his way of looking at the players saying, you know, you're not doing the things you have to do to get to a special level. And think about the frustration for Van Gundy. He spent part of Monday in a hospital in Toronto because of chest pains. He got released. They said things are okay for now. So how does the team reward their coach? Say, coach, we're glad you're happy. We're glad you're feeling better. They went out and played among the worst games. No, the worst game that any NBA team has played all year. That second half against Charlotte, no one has played worse. So do they bounce back tonight? Couple of problems. Even if they bring the mental focus, it's a difficult matchup. Chicago has the interior defense and the fouls to give to cause problems for Dwight Howard. Chicago also defends the three-point arc real well, only 33% allowed. That's where Orlando has to get points if Howard's contested well. Even if Orlando brings it, it's a tough matchup.
The worst game any team's played all year. You didn't watch the Bobcats lose at Indiana, a game that was over in the first 5 minutes, and I think Charlotte trailed by 35.
You have a 36-point swing against the Bobcats. Uh-huh. Who could do that? What would the odds have been if you say, okay, at this point in the game, or the Bobcats are going to run you out by 36 points?
Yeah, it's pretty slim.
It's...
But we've seen gruesome. Plenty of bad. Did you? I mean, look at the Celtics last night. Lots of bad basketball. And we're looking around the NBA for who's played the worst game of the year. Certainly one of the worst games for Orlando, no question about it. Now, the Bulls last night, a rare defensive letdown. Chicago didn't bring it on the defensive end against the Bucks. They allowed 104 and needed a game of winner to come away with a tight victory in that contest. But defensive effort from Chicago, we'd expect to see improvement here. Offensively, I don't know if they're going to get to 106 or even close like they did last night against Milwaukee, because the one thing that Dwight Howard brings to the table defensively is the ability to clog the lane. Well, Howard brings a lot of things defensively, but in particular against Chicago, a team that loves to drive, a team with a point guard who can take people off the dribble, the fact that Dwight Howard can clog up that low post could turn Chicago into a jump shooting team, and that's not their specialty.
Let's go to the TNT nightcap in Phoenix. The Road Mavericks, a 3.5-point favorite. We're going to be seeing the Road Mavericks a lot, probably in the single toughest scheduling setup of the entire NBA season. They just came off of 4-5, 6-8, and now they're about to embark on a 3-3. Also, they're going to play 9 games in 12 days, everyone with a court change involved. So why are they still favored? Market's perceiving that the Suns might be a little bit gassed last night. And it's not that they're gassed today. They were gassed last night at the end of that Oklahoma City game. They led by 16 late in the third quarter, ended up losing the game outright. Steve Nash, the guy who had had such a fantastic game through the first cycle, ended up playing over 39 minutes because they were close enough to feel it in the fourth quarter. They usually don't want Nash playing that much the first of back-to-backs. Oklahoma City found a blueprint to stop Nash. At halftime, 13 assists, no turnovers, didn't have a single assist in the second half. They started trapping him every single time, making him give the ball up. Of course, flip side of that, too, Oklahoma City scored at will late. 3 different players had at least 30 points for the Thunder. That's pretty rare. So tonight, the legs of Nash at his age become a real issue. So tantamount, too, because so many things that Phoenix does depend upon Nash setting it up.
Exactly. I mean, the impact of Nash on the second night of back-to-backs, where he sat out on a couple of occasions this year, hasn't played his best basketball. So the impact of all the minutes Nash played last night, not just an effect on him, but, of course, on the rest of his teammates. Let's look at, Marcin Gortat, a guy who was playing behind Dwight Howard in Orlando, couldn't get minutes, left as a free agent, a guy who we were saying, oh, he has upside. Well, that upside has come to fruition over the course of the last couple of weeks. Look at Marcin Gortat in his last 8 ball games. And again, you know, unless you're a fantasy player and a hardcore fantasy player, you might not have even noticed. 20 points a game, 12.6 boards, 6 double-doubles in those 8 ball games. Now, note, 5 of those 8 games came against opponents with winning records. So he's not beating up on patsies. He's been beating up on some pretty good teams. And one of the 2 games where he didn't get the double-double was an easy win against the Washington Wizards, a game where his minutes were cut short because it was all garbage time. But you might think here, all right, let's make a case. Gortat can dominate the low post here against Dallas because the Mavericks may not have Brendan Haywood in the lineup once again this evening, which eliminates their best low post defensive weapon. But is that really who Gortat is? Is he the kind of guy who can come in and dominate a game? Well, maybe not. His offensive numbers, those 20 points a game that we were talking about over the last 8, they've come nearly exclusively from easy looks set up by Steve Nash. When Nash isn't in the game or isn't at his best, Gortat's easy looks go way down. A lot of the rebounds come because the rest of the team, he's not competing with anyone on Phoenix to grab boards. The Suns as a team rank number 24 on my best set of rebounding charts.
Coming up next, Thursday afternoon, college baskets. It's tournament time as Money Time continues.
Let me know when I'm live. Hi, everybody. This is Bridget Magnus of Getting Real Estate in Vegas, and you are watching the Vegas Video Network.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Let's go. I thought you were going to play the Money Time thing right there. You know, you caught me wiping my face. It's a good thing I wasn't picking my nose. It would get on real ugly there on air.
Maybe at 200 shows they'll get it right.
Ish. Bottom line, let's continue on with Money Time and take a look at some afternoon and evening action in today's college hardwoods. We're going to start in Indianapolis, Indiana, where Big Ten tournament features Northwestern minus 2.5 in that tournament setting against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And, you know, this is a how, I don't know, I feel like I've heard this story a thousand times because it's been the same story since I moved to Vegas in 98. And every year we're like, oh, Northwestern hasn't made the tournament since ever. Northwestern hasn't made the tournament since and every year they're right here on the bubble, and every year they don't get that win that they need, and they end up going to the NIT. Well, they're still fighting for that first ever NCAA tournament appearance. They're 18-12 overall, 8-10 in Big Ten play, and boy, this Northwestern team plagued down the stretch by a series of near misses. Look what happened. They had the two-point loss to Ohio State right there. Couldn't seal the deal. The overtime loss to Michigan right there. Couldn't seal the deal. They went to Indiana. They're 8.5-point dogs. They're right in the game the whole way. Lose by five. Get the money. Don't get the win. Half of their Big Ten losses, they still 10 Big Ten losses overall, half of them came by 2 points or less or an overtime. So, yeah, if this team doesn't end up getting that bid, nowhere to look but in the mirror. You know, they had their chances, just didn't seal the deal. But Northwestern is going to get extra credit, per se, from the tournament selection committee because the Big Ten has been so good. You know, and you look at the numbers, they are the one of the top-rated conferences in the country. And you look at the strength of schedule. You know, the Sagarin ratings has Northwestern number 7. The Pomeroy ratings has Northwestern number 9 in terms of strength of schedule difficulty. So one win and they get in? Can they get it, Dave?
Get a good chance to watch Northwestern this afternoon if you haven't this year, because they're an unusual team. But don't have a lot of size in the interior. Good size on the wings. So the problem is inside, they get killed around the basket. Big Ten play, they allowed 46.3% shooting, out-rebounded by 7.2 per game. It's hard to be competitive when you're that weak in that category. But because of those wingspans, you're going to see a lot of 1-3-1 zone today. This is where Northwestern gets tricky. Let's take a look at the turnover counts for Northwestern this year to see how they're overcoming those problems in the paint. In all games this year, Northwestern plus 73 in turnover margin. Just in Big Ten play, a plus 34. That's a lot of extra possessions. Not only extra shots, but a lot of times easy shots because the turnovers lead to transition opportunities. So no, they don't guard the basket well, but Bill Carmody is real good at maximizing what he has to work with. Okay, if I can't guard the basket, let me guard the perimeter in a unique and difficult way. We particularly focus in today because Minnesota might have an Achilles heel against those 1-3-1 traps.
Yeah, they really could. I mean, this is like a chess match, but Tubby Smith has got to start a pawn instead of a queen. You know, Ralph Sampson III injured his knee in practice. It doesn't look like he's going to be able to go today. Julian Welch, he hasn't played since February 26th. And again, we're talking about guys that they don't just bring it in terms of a low post presence with rebounding, in terms of a low post presence with block shots. These two guys can pass the ball out of the low post very effectively. Welch, 21 more assists than any other player on the Golden Gophers. Sampson also with 31 dishes. So without those two key cogs in the middle, it looks like Tubby Smith is going to have to go with Elliot Eliason. That's a freshman making his first Big Ten start. We could see Minnesota rattled handling the ball a little bit here, and we could see some defensive breakdowns with the young gun who may not be quite ready to go up against a very complex offense that relies on these back cuts that'll get easy layups. No way here I would look to go against the Northwestern Wildcats in this one.
Let's go over to the Staples Center in Los Angeles this afternoon. UCLA, a 3-point favorite over Arizona. Probably the last year we say let's go to the Staples Center, because if you saw the crowd counts yesterday, you know why. In our opening take, we said that tournament will be here in Vegas come next March. Absolutely hideous. Hideous is a word we would have described some of the off-the-court things happening to the UCLA program over the last couple of years. But there's a big Sports Illustrated story last week that broke. We talked about it in a postmortem segment, but I think our friends at the Gold Sheet categorized it best. Like, look, to these guys, this is not news. Duane Engel has been following basketball in Westwood through the years. So how has UCLA responded to that very long, damning article? They go out, win all three games, cover the spread in all three games, come together with a nice, tight chemistry. As part of that focus, of course, in the article was how bad Reeves Nelson had been off the court. Well, Nelson's been gone now since December. They're not as talented, obviously, without him, but they come together and they play better basketball. Well, now you've got a little bit of momentum building. And as we talked about the long shots in the Pac-12, knowing there's nobody they can't beat, here's UCLA saying, you know what? We've had a tough year. Things haven't gone well. But we can win our way into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I mean, UCLA showing good team chemistry right now. Not sure I can say the same thing for Arizona. They've kind of failed their last couple of chemistry tests. A young team didn't really come together all that well. And Sean Miller, the head coach, seemed to be smelling something when he gave us this game quote, or this quote, prior to their loss at Arizona State to close out the regular season. Quote, you always have the fear of your defense this late in the year leaving you because intensity is really required, and teams are in a very good place with their offensive systems. So what happened in that Arizona State game? Well, the Sun Devils picked apart the Wildcats start to finish, finished with 87 points in the straight-up upset win. Miller asked after the loss why he had made that pregame statement. Here's his quote from that. Quote, that's why. You saw why. That's what happened. So the Arizona defense broken down was completely a non-factor in the loss to the Sun Devils. And now we've got Josiah Turner suspended again. He started 16 of Arizona's 18 Pac-12 games, led the team in assists, and, you know, he played 31 minutes in the loss to Arizona State this past week. And perhaps the lack of defensive intensity was a precursor to his second suspension. And if this is going to be the season ender for Arizona, which it could be if they lose today, the question is whether we see Turner back in a Arizona uniform next year and beyond.
Up next, it's the barbecue edition of Money Time. We're going to Memphis and to Kansas City. Whichever one you like best suits you just fine. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
There we go. That's the bumper I was looking for. All right. Let's go to the FedEx Forum in Memphis, where tonight, Memphis Tigers 15.5-point chalk against the UTEP Miners. And, you know, there's always a fine line. You know, did one team win? Did the other team lose? And a lot of times, particularly in close games where an inferior team beat a superior team, you're asking yourself that question once all is said and done. And when you do your own personal postmortem on the game, that's the factor that you're trying to establish. Did Team A win? Did Team B lose? Most of the time, it's a little bit of both. So Houston last night, yeah, they got the win over UTEP. UTEP got the win over Houston, but did UTEP win the game? Not so much. Houston lost that game. You know, they led by margin in the second half. They were up by 5 with 3 minutes to go, but went 6 of 15. This is the Houston Cougars we're talking about. 6 of 15 at the free throw line. They missed the front end of several key one-on-ones down the stretch. And guess what? UTEP survives and advances. Houston goes home after an overtime loss. So now we got this Miners. You know, they have momentum, right? Maybe not so much. The win over Houston last night, or the Houston Cougars loss, however you want to describe it, really took a toll on UTEP. We're talking about 188 minutes from the starters in that ballgame. From the bench, and it hasn't been a deep bench for much of the season, that hasn't changed. 2 bench points total, 3 bench rebounds total in the OT win last night. You know, there is a confidence issue that probably works in UTEP's favor here. Yes, they got the win last night, and they won on this floor early in the year, 60-58, in their only meeting against the Memphis team that they're going to face again tonight.
Memphis coach Josh Pattner was really bothered by that loss, so much so that immediately after that game, the players' names came off the uniforms, took away several other locker room privileges, and yeah, after a hard game or a hard practice, nothing like a good hot meal. They didn't even get that. Let's take a look at just how far Pastner went with it. He said, we even took away their hot meals. We fed them ham and cheese sandwiches on white bread. Hopefully at least a little mustard. Hey, UTEP beat us that day. It was a good wake-up call for our team. Was it a good wake-up call? Boy, it sure looks that way. Without the letters on the uniforms, how about a 4-0 straight up and against the spread? Beating the spread by over 13 points a game in the process. And look at a couple of the road games they played. They went and beat a good Marshall team by 20. They went to Tulsa. They won by 12. That was the wake-up call. Well, now you're sitting and waiting. Here's your chance to dump on that team that beat you. Only question, though, when it comes to a UTEP game, can you lay this many points at the expected tempo?
Well, that's just it. I mean, we know that the Tigers are going to bring a lot of fire and intensity for this particular matchup. We know that UTEP is likely to have fatigue issues at some point in this ballgame. But when we talk about this type of a spread, 15.5, and I'm even seeing some 16s popping up in some key locations, so we know which direction this line is moving right now. And the spread still probably a matter of tempo. As the money's come on Memphis, the money has also come on the over. We're seeing some 127s out there right now. And Tim Floyd, he can call an ugly game as well as anyone. Tim Floyd has lived for years on the ability to muck it up, take teams out of their offensive rhythm, slow things down, and try to find a way to steal it late. That's basically UTEP's MO, has been their MO all year long. In their last nine games, UTEP games, neither they nor their opponents have reached 70 points in regulation. In five of those games, neither they nor their opponents reached 60. So this one game where side and total may well be related. If you like Memphis, you probably like the over. If you like UTEP, maybe you try to cash in with the under to maximize your return on investment.
Let's go to the Sprint Center in Kansas City, the first of tonight's Big 12 doubleheader. Right now, Texas, a 1.5-point favorite over Iowa State. We've talked about Texas a lot on the show this year, about some of the fortunate officiating they got in some of the early home games. But the big theme all season long, this is a rebuilding year, not a reloading year. Most good programs are accustomed to the one-and-done players leaving early. You anticipate it. You sort of recruit around it. That didn't happen for Rick Barnes this year. He had several players leave after last year. He didn't expect to. A lot of freshmen getting playing time who ordinarily wouldn't be in Texas uniforms. He had to sign a few kids to fill a roster out. So when that happens, you don't necessarily have the upside. You usually think, okay, give Barnes young kids in November and December. He'll have them coming around at tournament time. That's not the case. Down the stretch, 2-3 straight up in the last five games. One of those wins, overtime against Texas Tech. It's hard to go to overtime against Tech. That's a bad, bad team. 1-4 against the spread in those last five. The only cover, a game they were getting 12 and lost by 10 at Kansas. So not really a significant cover. Yeah, it may say Texas on the uniforms. The markets might be thinking, here's Texas once again. This really isn't Texas this time around.
Yeah, I mean, here's a different way, and a good way perhaps, to set a perspective noticing the shift between these two programs this year. We think of postseason experience, we think of Texas. They're in making extended runs in the Big 12 tournament. They're making extended runs in the NCAA tournament on a consistent basis in the month of March. Iowa State has not, not in any recent season. But when we look at NCAA tournament experience, man, it definitely helps us shed some light on what's going on tonight. Look at this. NCAA tournament games. Chris Allen, an Iowa State senior, he's got 14 under his belt. The entire Texas roster has a grand total of 3 tournament games under their belt. So while we think of Texas as being this veteran experienced team, clearly that graph shows not so much. Now, you know, the Iowa State path this season was very different than the Texas path. Texas had a bunch of young kids, never really came together. Iowa State had a bunch of talented and experienced transfers come in to play for the mayor. But we knew they were going to start slowly. It's a team that had to cobble together a bunch of different pieces, and Fred Hoiberg had to figure out how best to use them. But we knew also that there was likely to be a pretty good upside as this team learned to play together. So what happened down the stretch for Iowa State? money makers. You've been backing the Cyclones. You've been cashing in repeatedly. 8-3 straight up, 9-1-1 against the spread in their last 11 ball games. A consistently undervalued commodity during this stretch. Now we look at the matchups here between Iowa State and Texas. Iowa State, they've got better balance. Six different scorers average 9 points per game or better for the Cyclones. They have much better three-point shooting, which gives them the ability to cut deficits. It also gives the ability to extend leads. And that can be a key in close games. And let's note Texas's weakness defending beyond the arc. They've allowed close to 38% shooting in 18 Big 12 regular season games so far this season.
Looks like we should bet this, shouldn't we?
Yeah, Dave, when we put it together, what do you think? You want to go somewhere with this game?
You know what's good about this one?
What's that?
It's one of my favorite logos. Because if your school's mascot is a horribly destructive force of nature, you got to dress it up and make it look cute somehow. You know, hey, we're Cyclones. We tear things down. Let's see the mascot.
Yeah, let's see that mascot for Iowa State. Play of the day. That's not that cute. He looks tough.
It's a horribly destructive force of nature. How do you make a Cyclone look good, you know?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
They tried.
But bottom line, for us today on Vegas Sports Day, the play of the day, the Iowa State Cyclones. You can still find them at +1.5 against the Texas Longhorns in Big 12 action this evening. And that's going to wrap it up for the Thursday edition. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. For Malinsky, I'm Savransky. Enjoy the games and good luck. We'll be back again tomorrow on Friday.